around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to another edition of what I call American Exposé. It is the 16th, I believe, of August 2005. Ah, boy, where do we begin? Where do we begin? I'm just amazed at all the situations going on. I'm just amazed at this, this instigation in Crawford, Texas is so redundant and repetitive of Vietnam. I just can't believe it, listeners. I just can't believe it. I'm just amazed at how we've been messed with again. So, you know, at this stage, with this second Vietnam War, third Vietnam War, fourth Vietnam War, fifth Vietnam War, you know, how can we be so stupid to accept what we're being told? And how can these people be demonstrating the way they are when the obvious situation is very, very well in our face? It's just amazing to me that we can be so dumbed down and stupid as an American people when we have history to learn by, so much history to learn by. Is this administration any different than the Nixon administration in respect of another Vietnam War? I mean, there are oil refineries from Standard Oil in Vietnam that were not to be touched, according to certain sources. So we have these situations that are very, very obvious. And it's unfortunate that we're involved in these messes. But what else is new? We're involved in a messy World War III scenario. Wars. So tonight we're going to cover this. This is as close to documentation as I can see. We're going to try and get it up on the website if Darren's available. From the Cobden Club's listeners, Secretariat for World Order. And it has the phone number of Congressman Gephardt's phone number dated September 20th, 1991. The Cobden Club's listeners, C-O-B-D-E-N, initiative for the Echo 92 Earth Charter. And let's just get on with it. The time is pressing. The Club of Rome was founded in 1968. Limits to Growth was written in 1971. Global 2000 was written in 1979. But insufficient progress has been made in population reduction. B, given global instabilities, including those in the former Soviet bloc, the need for firm control of world technology, weaponry, and natural resources is now absolutely mandatory. The immediate reduction of world population, according to the mid-1970s recommendation of the Draper Fund, must be immediately effected. C, the present vast overpopulation, now far beyond the world carrying capacity, and who gives the right to come to that conclusion, cannot be answered by future reductions in the birth rate due to contraception, sterilization, and abortion, but must be met in the present by the reduction of numbers presently existing. This must be done by whatever means necessary. D. The issue is falsely debated. That's right, the issue is falsely debated between a political and a cultural approach to population and resources, when in fact faced with stubborn obstruction and day-to-day political expediency, which make most of the leaders of the most populous poor countries unreliable, the issue is compulsory cooperation. E, compulsory cooperation is not debatable with 166 nations. Most of those leaders are irresolute, conditioned by localist cultures, and lacking appropriate notions of the New World Order. Debate means delay and forfeiture of our goals and purpose. F. The UN action against Iraq proves conclusively that resolute action on our part can sway other leaders to go along with the necessary program. The Iraq action proves that the aura of power can be projected and sustained, and that the wave of history is sweeping forward. Number two, perils to be heeded. There is a twofold opposition which must be eliminated by quick action. There are rumblings among some of the South regions, notably Brazil and Malaysia, to thwart the aims of the unsaid Earth Charter and to thwart the international gathering in Brazil in June 1992. What came out of 1992, listeners? Agenda 21. There's also the unfortunate vacillation in our own ranks, an argument that the unsaid leaders have made the agenda too political and that the way must first be prepared in a less abrasive cultural basis. We present only the most recent evidence. Keep in mind the date, listeners, September 20th, 1991. Roberto Maleo Moraro, the Brazilian writer, warned in the August 4th Folha de São Paulo that in Munich, in 1938, quote, it won't, against the current type of ecological epidemic unleashed against our country, which threatens the structure of our cultural, spiritual, and political values, and against our very national sovereignty. Messrs. Chamberlain and Delandier, heads of the government of England and France, calmly offered the Brazilian Amazon to the Führer. That's right, calmly offer the Brazilian Amazon to the Führer, end quote. Hitler reportedly observed that since the Amazon was in South America, the United States would cite the Monroe Doctrine and reject a German occupation of Brazilian territory. Chamberlain and Deladier responded that the proposal on Washington's backing. That's what it says. The Prime Minister of Malaysia, Mahathir Mohamad announced August 16th that his country may boycott the Earth Summit and stated that if the conference is used to suppress the Third World, it would be better for these nations to hold their own meeting. Speaking to newsmen in Petaling, Java, Mahachar claimed that the environmentalists have launched a global assault on Malaysia. While it is the developed nations, not Malaysia, who are polluting the environment. Malaysia Science, Technology, and Environmental Minister Law Heng Ding announced August 20th, according to the New Straits Times of August 23rd, that Malaysia is preparing a document entitled Greening the World, urging developed countries to use wealth and technology to turn deserts green. Hamid Djalaf, Algeria's delegate to the August 15th meeting of the UN Conference for Environment and Development, said August 23rd in Geneva, according to the UN Interpress Service, that, quote, "We have the old pattern of the North imposing the system and the South having to accept. Non-governmental organizations are saying that the North has hijacked the agenda, and they are right. They are prepared to let people die, but not forests," end quote. They are prepared to let people die, but not forests, listeners. The Malaysian Sunday Times editorial of August 16th said, quote, "Environmentalists make so much of their noble mission in protecting the environment, which sustains all of us. They do not credit Malaysians with much intelligence, with a similar concern for the health of the land and themselves. Shades of precious fin de silo romanticism, visions of the noble savage striking big game in arboreal groves, in grunting communion with the voices of the land. The same kind of romantic clap trap that got natives all over the world sold down the river into slavery, decimated by smallpox and clap, driven from their land into alcoholism and hopeless helplessness. Malaysia has had its full cultural and intellectual domination." The Brazilian Journal de Comercio on August 19th reported that Brazilian Foreign Minister Francisco Rezec said that it was hypocritical to campaign to preserve flora and fauna if the human race becomes extinct. There won't be any sense in preserving an exuberant flora and fauna on this planet. Brazil's chief of staff of the Amazon Military Command, General Fomantergo Satoro Vaz, stated in an interview in the August 28th Folha de São Paulo, said that the nation's armed forces will not permit ECO 92 resolutions restricting Brazil's sovereignty over the Amazon or creating Indian nations within the region. The general did not rule out the possibility that Brazil could be subject to, quote, something similar to what happened in the Persian Gulf, end quote. In other words, another war created on Brazil. Quote, something similar to what happened in the Persian Gulf, end quote, and declared that persons like Francois Mitterrand and Ted Kennedy would not be permitted to order reductions or eliminated in Brazil's armed forces. Sotero Vaz said, quote, "If those idiots try to come in here, we're going to give it to them and treat them like gorillas," end quote. The governor of the Amazon, Gilberto Mestre, stated September 8th, quote, "The general's position is a product of looking at reality," end quote. The president of the Industrial Federation of the Brazilian state of Pará in the Amazon region, Fernando Fexa Ribeiro, was quoted by the press September 14th as stating that the environmentalists want to make the Amazon, quote, a sterile preservation, end quote. He said Echo 92 could, quote, promote colonist practices, end quote. The Brazilian Tribune de Imprensa quoted Joan Grossi, a spokesperson for the U.S. Agency for International Development, as saying that sterilization is the family planning, quote, method preferred by President George Bush, and that's George Herbert Walker Bush, to increase the effectiveness of birth control in the third world, end quote. The Italian Weekly 2, Roman numeral 2, Sabato, published in September 14th, article by Professor Franco Cardini, stating, quote, it must be said with utmost clarity that the plans of the International Monetary Fund for the former USSR and the Eastern countries are infamous. The Eastern community is in the position to supply not only suggestions, but also capital and technological structures. But all this obstructs the New World Order, which is strictly hooked to the United States, a country that remains, have we forgotten, the most indebted country in the world, and is facing a crisis of production exemplified by the crashes of the stock market and the big banks. It is this new frontier that re-emerging liberalists would like to propose to the former Soviet Union, end quote. The article has been much discussed in Poland as the first frontal criticism of the International Monetary Fund and the free market model this quarter. India's delegate at the Geneva UNCED negotiations told the Earth Charter organizers, with the support of negotiators from China, the Philippines, Chile, Venezuela, Ethiopia, Ghana, and Malaysia, that, quote, we are not here as supplicants, that we have not come here for aid, end quote, but, quote, compulsory financial flows, end quote, into underdeveloped nations are required, according to the September 13th Indian Press. The delegate, Chandrasekhar Deshgupta, or Gupta, also strongly opposed plans to bring environmental matters under the UN Security Council and insisted that development be put center stage instead of bracketed next to the environment. He told newsmen that both India and China will have to be satisfied on these questions before they attend the Rio summit, declaring that without the assent of India and China, no charter will be worth the paper it is written on. This is all proposed and brought up before Agenda 21 was final. But they're talking about Agenda 21, listeners. The non-aligned foreign ministers meeting in Ghana, India's internal ministers, Madhavaskaran Salakin, Solanki called September 11th, isn't that amazing, for a comprehensive and integrated strategy in debt or on debt and a development consensus for this decade. The African group at the conference sponsored an urgent call for an international conference on debt. The UN Conference on Trade and Development, UNCTAD, UNCTAD, issued an annual report September 16th declaring, according to the BBC, that the liberal free market is not an appropriate model for developing nations. Finance should serve industry, not the other way around, and government has a key role to play in certain sectors of the economy. Directed credit for special projects is sometimes necessary. Developing nations should look to Germany and Japan rather than the U.S. and Britain as examples. The report deplores the tendency to introduce an Anglo-Saxon banking system into developing countries. Number three, what the World Fund for Nature is saying, listeners. Let's take a little break here.
Hello? Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I turned my mic off.
Oh, all right.
I had to cough. I apologize.
Okay. I just wondered where you went.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. I apologize, listeners. I turned the mic off to cough, and the mic here has a switch, and the mixer over here has a knob to turn down, and I forgot to turn on the mic. So I wasted about a minute and a half here. I apologize. Number three, what the Worldwide Fund for Nature is saying. And once again, let's just give a little bit of a review of where we are. We're sort of almost halfway through this. Cobden Clubs, Secretary for World Order, and it connects to Congressman Gephardt's office, dated September 20th, 1991, from the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development. And it's the Initiative for ECHO 92 Earth Charter. In other words, it's the need for bringing about Agenda 21, people. That's what this is about. And this is why Larry sent it to me in such a quick mannerism, because I sent it to others and they weren't paying attention. They don't understand what this is about. Well, I do. And it makes total sense to me that this is a legitimate document. And I did read it sometime back in the 90s. I might have it in a file somewhere. But as I moved out here, I didn't pay attention to where anything was, to be honest with you. So we're at number three, what the Worldwide Fund for Nature is saying. An official of the Worldwide Fund for Nature, the WWF, said September 10th that the Geneva UNCED results were, quote, absolutely a serious setback. There will be no convention on forests by June 1992 for Brazil. The situation has reached a deadlock. This is the first casualty for the UNCED process. Increasingly, UNCED is broken down into blocks, with the developing sector in one block. We heard the statements of Mahatar, and these can be serious. We hope that it is just a tactic to precipitate new negotiations. But this potential is to set the ball rolling and cause other countries besides Malaysia to withdraw is a very difficult situation. End quote. I believe that's an end quote. A senior advisor on ecological affairs to Britain's Prince Philip said September 15th that ECHO 92 organizer Maurice Strong had, quote, over-politicized, end quote, the issue of environmentalism and had raised, quote, ridiculously messianic expectations, end quote, for the Earth Summit. Quote, Strong is misfocusing attention away from a clear and present danger confronting the entire ecology movement. The general shift in paradigm toward favoring economic growth in the former communist nations. We should be avoiding too much politicking. We should concentrate on change of awareness models and attack the underlying ethical, moral considerations that motivate people. In Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, that's our biggest challenge. We will have a major problem if they try to achieve the level of economic growth of the advanced Western nations. This is potentially one of the biggest challenges, and Prince Philip is getting more and more involved in dealing with it. Maurice Strong is somebody who spent too much time at his wife's New Age Center. Maurice Strong is somebody who spent too much time at his wife's New Age Center. It obviously touched his mind. It all reminds me of the so-called Millerites of the 19th century, who predicted that the world would come to an end at some point in 1844. So they all went into the mountains to prepare. The world didn't come to an end, and the Millerites became the Jehovah's Witnesses. That is what I see happening to the Earth Summit. Just listen to Strong talk about the most significant event in human history ever. and the last chance to save the planet. What could be more ridiculous and guaranteed to create a mess? We see the backlash already in the reactions of various third world countries. Number three, again. This might be a missed typo. I'm not sure. Let's just call it number four. What must be done? In the face of mounting opposition from third world elements, certain forces in the Eastern European and Russian regions, and by the Vatican, and certain weak-kneed responses within the ecology effort, what really is the purpose of traipsing around the world to convince a handful of farmers, unionists, local officials, churchmen, and university environmentalists of the necessity of the Earth Charter? If one truly wished to convert the American public, would it not be necessary to say fully, openly, and explicitly what must be done? And that it must be done now? Do you really imagine that parading some third worlders before hearings conducted by local celebrities, the third world will simply quiet down, or that the American press coverage of these events will overwhelm this opposition? Will you take action now that President Bush has a political momentum, or wait until you must convince America to fight 100 Vietnams simultaneously? This is the time to save the Anglo-Saxon race and its most glorious production, the Anglo-Saxon system of banking, insurance, and trade. We are the living sponsors of the great Cecil Rhodes will of 1877, in which Rhodes devoted the fortune to, quote, the extension of British rule throughout the world. Oh, insanity at its biggest. And this is obviously something that needs to be seen by all. And we'll be back to continue the broadcast called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. Support the network. Support Darren Weeks and his directions on Monday and Friday as well, people. We're all in this together.
Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
America is at war right now. It's not a war against Iraq, nor is it a war against terrorism. It's a new war for our independence. At stake is our Constitution and the very freedoms we enjoy every day. You see, power-hungry politicians are quietly advancing something deceptively named the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. Proponents claim they are merely promoting trade by turning North and South America into a huge economic union. But in reality, it's a brazen scheme to eliminate the authority of the U.S. government, submitting our nation to the whims of a new regional superpower. America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to StopTheFTAA.org and help keep America free. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. It's called American Exposé. It's the 16th of August, 2005. And certainly this appears to be a document that is the precursor to implementation of Agenda 21. And we'll try and get it on the website tonight. Dated September 20th, 1991, listeners. Initiative for the Echo 92 Earth Charter, people. And let's go back to what must be done, number four. In the face of mounting opposition from the third world elements, certain forces in the Eastern European and Russian regions, and by the Vatican and certain weak-kneed response within the ecology effort, what really is the purpose of traipsing around the world to convince a handful of farmers, unionists, local officials, churchmen, and university environmentalists of the necessity of the Earth Charter? If one truly wished to convert the American public, would it not be necessary to say fully, openly, and explicitly what must be done, and that it must be done now? Do you really imagine that parading some third worlders before hearings conducted by local celebrities, the third world will simply quiet down, or that the American press coverage of these events will overwhelm this opposition? Well, you take action now that President Bush has the political momentum, or wait until you must convince America to fight 100 Vietnam simultaneously. This is the time to save the Anglo-Saxon race and its most glorious production, the Anglo-Saxon system of banking, insurance, and trade. We are the living sponsors of the great Cecil Rhodes will of 1877, in which Rhodes devoted his fortune to, quote, the extension of British rule throughout the world, the colonization by British subjects of the entire continent of Africa, the Holy Land, the Valley of the Euphrates, the island of Cyprus and Canada, and the whole of the South America, the islands of the Pacific, not heretofore possessed by Great Britain, the whole by the Malay Archipelago, the seabed of China and Japan, the ultimate recovery of the United States of America as an integral part of the British Empire. We stand with Lord Milner's credo. We too are, quote, British race patriots, end quote, and our patriotism is, quote, the speech, tradition, and principles, the aspirations of the British race, end quote. Do you fear to take this stand at the very last moment when this purpose can be realized? Do you not see that failure now is to be pulled down by the billions of Lilliputians of race who care little or nothing for the Anglo-Saxon system? Therefore, the following policy must be implemented. A. The Security Council of the United Nations, led by the Anglo-Saxon major nation powers, will decree that henceforth the Security Council will inform all nations that its sufferance on population has ended, that all nations have quotas for production reduction. all nations have the quotas for population reduction on a yearly basis, which will be enforced by the Security Council by selective or total embargo of credit, items of trade including food and medicine, or by military force when required. B. The Security Council of the United Nations will inform all nations that outmoded notions of national sovereignty will be discarded, and that the Security Council has complete legal, military, and economic jurisdiction in any region in the world, and that this will be enforced by the major nations of the Security Council. D. The Security Council of the UN will explain that not all races and peoples are equal, nor should they be. These races, proven superior by superior achievement, ought to rule the lesser races, caring for them on sufferance that they cooperate with the Security Council. Decision-making, that's decision-making, including banking, trade, currency rates, and economic development plans, will be made by stewardship by the United Nations. E. All of the above constitute the new world order, in which order all nations, regions, and races will cooperate with the decisions of the major nations of the Security Council. The purpose of this document is to demonstrate that action delayed could well be fatal. All could be lost if mere opposition by minor races is tolerated and the unfortunate vacillations of our closest comrades is cause for our hesitations. Open declaration of intent followed by decisive force is the final solution. This must be done before any shock hits our financial markets, tarnishing our credibility and perhaps diminishing our force. Oh, boy. Rather remarkable information. And what do I see here? UNA, and that's the United Nations Association Environment and Development Conference, to provide broad public debate and support for the United Nations Earth Summit 1992. It's a Midwest public hearing on environment and development. House Chamber, State Capital of Des Moines, Iowa, September 22, 1991, State of Iowa. Whereas critical need exists to educate citizens, it's a proclamation of all nations on ways to conserve Earth's resources and prevent pollution. And whereas it is imperative that we create strategies to achieve environmentally sound and sustainable development practices on planet Earth, and whereas the United Nations Association of this state is dedicated to research and education on the United Nations and global issues, including protection of the environment, and whereas the United Nations Association of the United States, Canada, and Iowa are sponsoring a Midwest region public hearing on cooperation with the Secretariat of the 1992 United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, UNCED, UNCED, for the purpose of hearing grassroots testimony on issues pertaining to energy, sustainable agriculture, and institutions, and whereas testimony given at the UNA-USA Midwest public hearing will be forwarded to appropriate national leaders who will prepare the U.S. national report that will determine U.S. policy at the 1992 UNCED Earth Summit Conference to be held in Brazil and attended by 159 member nations. Now, therefore, I, Terry E. Branstad, Governor of the State of Iowa, do hereby proclaim Sunday, September 22, 1991, as Sustainable Development Day in Iowa, and urge citizens to participate with the United Nations Association for the purpose of hearing testimony on energy, sustainable agriculture, and the institutions necessary to protect the environment in Iowa and around the world. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto subscribed my name and caused the great seal of the State of Iowa to be affixed. Done at Des Moines this 27th day of August in the year of our Lord, 1991. I see the seal, but I don't see the governor's signature here, listeners. But it certainly looks legitimate enough to put on the website for your perusement. A lot of people involved here. Senator Tom Harkin, Beth Freeman, Economic Coordinator, Des Moines office. Congressman Dave Nagel. Shelley Sheehy from the Waterloo office. U.S. Citizens Network for UNCED in San Francisco. Catherine Porter, Executive Director. It says here, copies of testimony will be filed with the above and other U.S. agencies that have responsibility for determining U.S. position on UNCED. Appropriate agencies in the United Nations system and the United States Network for UNCED. It's quite revealing information, people. All sorts of hearing panelists here. People that we've never heard of before. Sustainable Agriculture, President's Council on Environmental Quality, Department of State, Zell Stiver, U.S. UNCED Coordination Center, Department of Energy, Jack W. Blanchard, Department of Justice, Annie Pitsenk, Agency for International Development, UNA USA, Washington Office, Grinnell College, Iowa Peace Institute, Iowa Department of Natural Resources, Iowa State University. Anyway, you heard it all tonight. And try and get it up on the website as soon as possible. In the meantime, what do I see here? Dated August 11th, out of the Oklahoman, school costs don't add up, group says. This ought to be interesting. Educating a public school student costs nearly twice what the state reports because officials exclude, quote, many significant costs when computing, end quote. Spending, an Oklahoma City-based think tank said Wednesday. However, state officials say Oklahoma follows the same reporting guidelines as other states. The Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs says more than $11,250 is spent every year to educate a public school student. Governor Brad Henry's executive budget book reported $6,429 per student in 2003, the most recent year for which numbers are available. Brandon Dutcher, the council's vice president for policy, said he's not sure which is worse, the variance between the two figures or the state earning a meager return on its investment in public schools. Keep in mind the dumbing down process in public schools. The dialogue to consensus going on in the public schools, where homeschool children are so much smarter than school children that are educated in public schools by design, for the dumbed-down UN system being proposed on us. Steve Anderson, a research fellow at the council, said the state's calculation does not include more than $121 million funneled through the career tech system and more than $6 million allocated to the Oklahoma School of Science and Mathematics. Dutcher said their unfunded retiree benefits and school building depreciation costs are added. Quote, you're in for some sticker shock, end quote. Taxpayers will be interested to know that the per pupil cost of public education is nearly triple the average private school tuition in Oklahoma, end quote, he said. Is that not remarkable or what? Oh, man, people. How can we be so... Well, I'm very, very aware that a lot of us are aware. I'm just, you know, I find it very difficult for people to be so stupid and dumbed down in many respects. And that is my concern at this point in time. A little break needed again. I'm having a voice problem tonight, as I did today. Listen to Poker Face. Pokerface.com is their website.
I feel nothing. nothing. That's what you do.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Pay attention to this, listeners. Countries at the national level and international level. Once again, countries at the national level and international governmental and non-governmental organizations at the national level should develop the concept of indicators of sustainable development in order to identify such indicators. In order to promote the increasing use of some of these indicators in satellite accounts, and eventually in national accounts, the development of indicators needs to be pursued by the Statistical Office of the United Nations Secretariat as it draws upon evolving experience in this regard. Oh boy. That can be really dissected very easily. Let me go back a couple of paragraphs. Objectives. The following objectives that are important. Quote, actually, no quote. A, to achieve more cost-effective and reliant data collection and assessment by better identification of users in both public and private sectors and of their information needs at the local, provincial, national, and international levels. B, to strengthen local, provincial, national, and international capacity to collect and use multi-sectoral information in decision-making processes and to enhance capacities to collect and analyze data and information for decision-making, particularly in developing countries. C, to develop or strengthen local, provincial, national, and international means of ensuring that planning for sustainable development in all sectors is based on timely, reliable, and usable information. D, to make relevant information accessible in the form and at the time required to facilitate its use. This comes from Chapter 40, Information for Decision-Making of Agenda 21. In other words, totalitarian control of mankind being engineered well underway today. There is the process and the problem, people. Here we see, how amazing is this? I don't know whether I can get to the full document of this. NAFTA Chapter 11, Investor to State Cases, Bankrupting Democracy, Lessons for Fast Track and the Free Trade Area of the Americas. Public Citizen, 30 Years, Protecting Health and Safety and Democracy, Friends of the Earth, Fighting Environmental Destruction Where It Begins, dated September 2001. Public Citizen is a nonprofit membership organization in Washington, D.C., dedicated to advancing consumer rights through lobbying, litigation, research, publications, and information services. I see. There's much to this piece of work. Vicky's done some tremendous research here. In the spring of 2001, President George W. Bush asked the U.S. Congress to delegate to him a six-year chunk of Congress's constitutional authority over international trade through the process called Fast Track. Bush seeks Fast Track Trade Authority, which his administration is attempting to rename Trade Promotion Authority, to expand the 1994 North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. The proposed NAFTA expansion, formerly called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, FTAA, once again, the proposed NAFTA expansion, formerly called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, FTAA, would spread NAFTA's rules to an additional 31 Latin American and Caribbean nations by 2005. By 2005. The publicized goal of the FTAA proposal is to facilitate trade and deepen economic integration by expanding the NAFTA provisions and eliminate tariff and non-tariff barriers to trade and investment throughout the hemisphere. Careful consideration of NAFTA's record therefore becomes central to discussions of Fast Track and the FTAA. Thus, this year, Public Citizen is releasing a series of reports on NAFTA's actual performance over 7 years of existence. This report, NAFTA Chapter 11, Investor to State Cases, Bankrupting Democracy, analyzes NAFTA's groundbreaking investment chapter, which granted expansive new rights and privileges for foreign investors operating in the three NAFTA signatory nations, U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It is often said that NAFTA was more than an investment agreement, than a trade agreement. Now, NAFTA's investor privileges and protections are on the core of the proposed FTAA. NAFTA's investor protections are unprecedented in a multilateral trading agreement. Since the agreement's enactment, corporate investors in all three NAFTA countries have used these new rights to challenge a variety of national, state, and local environmental and public health policies, domestic judicial decisions, and federal procurement law, and even a government provision of parcel delivery services as NAFTA violations. While most cases are still pending, some corporations have already succeeded in these challenges. Remarkably, NAFTA also provides foreign investors the ability to privately enforce their new investor rights, called investor-to-state dispute resolution. This extraordinary mechanism empowers private investors and corporations to sue NAFTA signatory governments in special tribunals to obtain cash compensation for government policies or actions that investors believe violate their new rights under NAFTA. If a corporation wins its case, it can be awarded unlimited amounts of taxpayer dollars from the treasury of the offending nation, even though it has gone around the country's domestic court system and domestic laws to obtain such an award. Isn't that neat? Supporters of NAFTA claim that these extensive investors' protections and their private enforcement mechanism were necessary to protect investors from the state seizure of private property, i.e. nationalization. Mexico, which nationalized its foreign oil refineries in 1938, was the prime target of these concerns. However, the majority of the investor-to-state cases filed to date have had little to do with the seizure of property, NAFTA supporters feared. Instead, the cases challenge environmental laws, regulations, and government decisions at the national, state, and local level. California-based Mediclad company successfully challenged the denial of a construction permit by a Mexican municipality for the building of a toxic waste facility. Environmental and health bans of suspected toxins have been challenged. in one case already resulting in reversal of a Canadian government ban on the gasoline additive MMT. Canada's implementation of two international environmental agreements has been successfully challenged, and Canada will soon be ordered to pay damages to U.S. investors in both cases. Foreign corporations have taken two lawsuits they lost in U.S. domestic court to be reheard in the NAFTA investor-to-state system, one challenging the concept of sovereign immunity regarding a contract dispute with the city of Boston, and other challenging rules of civil procedure. Isn't this amazing? The jury system and a damage award on a Mississippi state court contract case. Here's another one. The American company, the United Parcel Service, has filed a suit beginning the governmental provision of parcel and courier services in the Canadian Postal Service and Much more to this. Looks like we've got to get another one on the website. So much going on, people. So much information. So much work to do. So many people needed to be involved in this country. Restoration of a constitutional republic would be nice, wouldn't it? Okay, that's it for tonight. I'll talk to you tomorrow night, listeners, at this time slot. God bless you all, and pray for the restoration of this constitutional republic.
I'm hanging by, but stretched by, it feels like a noose. This is what I say.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares?